I do want to talk to you about his glory and his joy. And I don't want you to think about God's glory in the future tense. We talk about these things and we seek them and we put them off. But the psalmist said that a promise afar off makes your heart heavy. But if you can receive it, it is a fountain of life. So today I want us to bring what I'm telling you to the right now. And I want everybody to hear this song. I'm going to play you a song first because I feel like that this is where we are. And I think that this song is going to be a blessing to so many of you. It's a song that we used to sing in the 90s. Richard Smallwood and all the black choirs and people all over were singing, "Jesus, you're the center of my joy." And I found this. Lainey shared it with me that, how many know David Jeremiah? You know David on TV. He's just a neat guy. I'm not sure. They're, I think, non-evangelical, but still a wonderful, wonderful man of God. Really does some good teaching. And it's his white choir singing this song, and you say, it's beside the point. No, it's not, because white choirs can't sing like black choirs. But these guys do a good job, and I want you to hear it. We still got people in the choir room. I hope y'all come on out, because I want you to hear this song. I hear it talking to somebody. I'm hoping they'll hear this. All right, well, they'll hear it, and they'll come out, because they'll hear music. All right, I want you to pull the lights down a bit. Now listen, I know how songs work. If you're not familiar with it, you hear it the first time, you usually don't like it. I'm not playing it to get you to like it, okay? I'm playing it, and it does have words. I found it with the lyrics. So I want you to look at the lyrics, but hear it, because it'll bless you. Listen to Jesus, you're the center of my joy. And this is the day where we have to keep it right there. Keep the volume up a little bit for us, please.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Simple things in life. You're the Come on and stand with me. Let's sing. Oh, yes, Lord.
All that's good and perfect comes from you.
Ah, yours.
Your love of my contentment, hope.
Lord, you're everything. Somebody bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Have a seat. Oh, my goodness. When the writer said, he's in the meadows and the streams, I remember my cousins were here from Texas, and I drove them up to Balch Park. I hadn't been there in years since I was a little girl, and there we were, and my cousin, one of them, said, oh, just listen to that quietness. And if you've never driven up there before, many of you are so familiar. Rick camps there over the years many times. But he is the beauty in the meadow and in the streams when they flow and just having the sound of water. How many of you just love the sound of water? I believe that's him that we hear in those little fountains at the hotel or in the backyard or wherever the fountains are. And when you hear those babies of yours cry, that little tiny Millie, when you hear her cry, isn't there just something about that? Or her laughter? Her laughter, it's like you hear Jesus in the laughter. You say, well, I don't hear Jesus. What do you think that joy is that goes off inside you? There's a joy that just radiates from certain things. And even when you get in the presence of somebody or you're having a good time and you hear laughter in the crowd, there's some joy that comes deep. There's a joy. There's times, I was thinking this morning about this and the joy of the Lord and how full it is and sometimes how awkward it is. My dad died when I was 18 years old. He fell from a tree to his death. He died the next day. And I remember when they had his service, it was probably really the first time that I met up with the glory of the Lord and his joy. So we were in the slumber room there, and I remember we were just tore up, as you are, yes, young people in there, or anyone that loses a loved one. And I knelt at the foot of his casket, and while I was there, I was talking to the Lord, but I felt this holy presence come into me. And I felt a peace and a gladness and joy is the only way I could describe it. But now as I'm older, I just realize it was plain Jesus. It was just him that showed up. And when he's there, that's about all you have need of to get a hold of some peace. When you don't know what's going on. And right now we're like, what is happening in this world? What is going on? Well, I'll tell you what's happening. I heard the Lord say this to me yesterday very plainly to tell you when I got here this morning, don't any one of you underestimate what has happened in your life. Now, some of you have had some joyous things happen this year, or maybe you've had something not so good. Maybe you got a big raise, or you had a baby, or you got married, or you got COVID, or whatever. Maybe you even lost a loved one. But whatever it was, no matter how bad or how good, how glorious, how beautiful, the Lord said, do not underestimate the power of my presence and what I am producing underneath the ground. You don't see it. Good to see you, honey, Cherie. You don't see what's happening underground, but there's some stuff going on. So you've got to grab a hold of that. Focus on Jesus and let Jesus be the center of your joy. Amen? Now, I don't know what you men know about wheels, but I learned a long time ago when we begin to sing, Jesus is the wheel in the middle of the wheel, that was an axle. And though the wheel just went round and round and round, there was an axle in the middle, and that axle does not move. And when you go up to a mountain, this thing is so overwhelming, but it doesn't move. The petrified rock in Arizona, it's stone. It is stone, and it does not move. The big rocks don't move. And Jesus said, I am the rock. I am the mountain. He is the rock of our salvation. He's it, church, and he never moves. There's no shadow of turning in him. And with everything in this entire world changing, I mean, everything is changing. From technology to our education to the medical field, everything is changing. Who would have ever thought that you could be a single individual? Of course, he was a billionaire. But he could build his own shuttle and take somebody into space and not work for NASA. Who could ever think of something like that? Well, who would have ever thought that we would have a space station in outer space? And they're building on it. They go up, work on it, and take supplies and do all kinds of things, getting it ready for the future. Thought of my little grandma, who lives in Texas. She was born in 1896. And she used to tell us how that her and her family came in covered wagons, in a big wagon train. And they went from Houston, Texas, down in South Texas, to go up to Gainesville, where she lived for years. And they traveled by wagon train with all of these wagons up to the north part of Texas, up by the Oklahoma border. They traveled by wagons. She was a little girl. But when you're 4 years old, you remember things. See, she was born in 1896. So she was born before the century turned. And then she lived all the way through the century. And she lived until 2001. She lived to be 105 years old. And I was honored to get to do her service. But I would talk to her about the things that she could remember. And she remembered that, of course, they traveled on dirt roads. And then she remembered when they paved the streets. Oh, it was a beautiful thing. And they just couldn't believe how smooth the streets were. And, you know, they weren't nearly as smooth as ours are. But it was a beautiful thing. And then they got these rowdy cars. And the automobile was going to go too fast. You know, there's like that thing that's going to go 20 miles an hour. And then they got the first airplane and they were blown away. And they went from radios. The family would gather around the radio and listen. And then she saw the black and white TV come in to where they could actually see. She called them movies on the radio or the plays or performances they had. She called them stories. And she still called TV movie stories until the day she died. And she would watch these things and still think these people were living and they died 100 years ago, you know, like Zorro and those guys. Matt Dillon, all those guys. So she's still watching one. Then she said, and then it went to TV where we could watch the stories on the TV. And it was black and white. And then when it went to color, that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh, color TV. And it just kept moving. And then the man on the moon, that was almost too much. Just could not believe that this happened, that a man actually went to the moon. Now, she's dead and gone. She saw a lot of things, lived through a lot of things, remembered the Holocaust, remembered World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, all these things. An amazing thing. But now we see, you know, as that was a 100-year span. But now things are so accelerated, it's just going, it's like somebody having their foot on the accelerator, and time is just out there. I mean, it's just doing all kinds of things. Amazing things are going on right now. But I want you to turn over to, go over to Isaiah. We'll just start here for a minute. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but let's go to Isaiah 43. This is very familiar. And look at this with me. Isaiah 43:19. Now, verse 18 is really hard for us to do, but let's try this morning, just because the Bible tells us to. Isaiah 43:18. Do not remember the former things. Try to get rid of the past. Think about it, though I just told you a bunch about the past, because right now, the winds of change are blowing like a hurricane on earth. I mean, it's blowing so hard and so fast, they're like birth pains. You hardly are able to get through one where there's another the next day. So he said, but leave all the things behind, because nothing's like it was pre-COVID. Nothing's like it was pre-9/11. Everything's different. Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. I'll put rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me. Look down to verse 20. We'll go ahead and read that. The beasts of the field will honor me. The jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the river, wilderness, rivers in the desert. Why? Look at this, folks. Look at this. I do this to give drink. Somebody say, give drink to my people. Look at this. I love this. My people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise. He says, I know you. You say they're talking about Israel. No, we're grafted in. We're apart. We're God's chosen. And so he says, I did this. This new thing is going to spring forth. And then he says, shall you not know it? That means, have you seen it? You know what I told him last night? No. Lord, I feel you. And I know you, but I haven't seen what the people of Israel saw. We've never received those kind of miracles of the manna falling down, the waters opening up. And he said, you will. You will see it. You will see what I have promised according to my word. Because my people need a drink. How many could take a drink this morning? The modern day people in this 21st century, we must have a drink of the Spirit of God. Nothing else, folks, is going to do. Nothing. Nothing. You say, if we just get Trump back in office, honey, that's going to be a hullabaloo when he gets back in. And he will, but they're going to tear things up. Unless Jesus steps in and flips the tables over. And you know what's going to happen? Jesus is going to step in and flip the tables over. That's what he's going to do. He said, I don't like it anyway. But the people of God are going to have to stand fast, hold fast, forget the former things, and stand where we are right now and hold on to the joy of the Lord. Don't let it discourage you. Don't let it depress you. Don't let it get you down. You hold fast that you might receive the joy of the Lord. I said, joy, Lord, if I receive joy at the head of my father's casket, surely I can receive the joy of the Lord of the little daily things that come and go. Don't you think, church? His joy has come to you. Think of the times that His joy came to you when you didn't even know what you were going to do. You had no idea how you were going to get through that thing. Somehow, He came to you. I believe I know what He did. He gave us a drink, Lynn. He said, here's a little drink. Lyndall didn't get the greatest report back the other day from his doctor. But I can tell, Lyndall, he's giving you a drink. Debbie, I can tell. You guys have been hitting the bottle. You've been drinking. When you do that, things change. You can live with a bad report. It's ugly. It's hateful. It's discouraging. And if Jesus isn't the center of your joy, you'll get all lost in the mess. And guess what? That's just where the devil wants you, is lost in the mess. Chris, you guys sent some joy. You were drinking a little bit when mom and daddy's passed. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let me tell you something about our sovereign God. He is sovereign, and that simply means He is God and we're not. And He never has to ask permission. He comes to any place when He wants, how He wants, to whoever He wants, and He can hold off and He can keep His mouth shut just as long as He wants. It doesn't matter what happens, but when He's ready to speak, when He is ready to throw out His glory, when He's ready to bless His people, He just does it and He says, I don't care if you like it or not. I'll do as I please, says the Lord. All right, let's go over to Psalms 97. I want you to see this. Psalms 97. Because things are pretty dark down here right now on the earth. Now, it's not dark in our hearts because we know who He is and we know who we serve and we know He's with us. So we're doing okay. But there's a lot of people that are not. A lot of people are just tore up. And when it gets dark, people get confused. Now, did I say Psalms 97? Okay, look at this. This is amazing. In verse 2, it says, clouds and darkness surround Him. Are you serious, Pastor? Darkness surrounds God? Clouds and darkness? Well, look at me a minute. Do you remember the writings in Exodus when Moses and the people, God appeared to them on Mount Sinai. At the top of the mountain, there were clouds and there was darkness. It was just taken with darkness. And His voice spoke out of the darkness. And it scared the people to death. And they said, oh, Moses, don't let Him speak to us. You speak to us. What was the darkness about? It was His hiding place. The Bible said in the book of Psalms chapter 18 that it was God's hiding place. He hid Himself in the clouds of darkness. Now it says He was surrounded by darkness. And I thought, dear Jesus, so are we. We're surrounded by darkness. Listen, when you step out of your home and you step your foot out into that world, David, you're surrounded with darkness out there. You guys step into those places where you work, places you go, into Walmart, Target, the bank, just out in the street. If we just step outside these doors, you step into darkness. But God said, it's okay with me because I hid myself in the darkness. I'm surrounded by darkness, He said. I was in the cloud that was upon Mount Sinai when I gave out the Ten Commandments. Well, then if you go over to the New Testament, and you can find it in 3 of the 4 Gospels, you'll see where Jesus took James and John with Him, he took Peter and John up to the mountain with Him. And the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured before them. I mean, just totally, totally changed in front of them. And His glory showed on Him, and it was bright white like snow, and those men dropped like dead men. But here's what it said. It said a bright cloud, listen, a bright cloud came over those men. Elijah was standing there. Moses was standing there. When that bright cloud came over, and when it came, they just dropped out dead. I mean, just passed out in the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says when, listen to me now, when they opened their eyes, it was just them and Jesus. See, Old Testament, there were dark clouds. In this New Testament, we see bright clouds. Bright clouds for the people of God. Now, the earth, they're seeing darkness. But you and I, we've got some bright clouds over us. Nevertheless, they're clouds. They're still hovering over, and they're not the nicest thing in the world to be covered because you want to see the presence of the Lord. I don't want to see that cloud. But, Kathy, I would like to see the glory cloud. Because when that cloud comes over, we just see ourselves in Him. That way you know something is going on. And that's why I started out telling you, if Jesus is the center of your joy, then whatever is happening in your life, there's something being produced underground in the Spirit. Something is going on. Miss Judy, don't forget. Something is going on, and you and I don't have a clue what it is. But I want you to look over at Psalms 97. It might help us. We just read the clouds and darkness around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation, the very foundation, not cement like we have under this church and your home. But righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Look, a fire goes before him, just like it did in the days of the people of Israel. Remember, a cloud went before them to hide the presence of the Lord. A fire went before them. And now it says there's a fire before the throne of God. And it burns up what? His enemies round about. So the fire burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings and the light of the world. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his what? Say it again. His what? His glory. All the people will see his glory when it says that his glory comes down upon his enemies like fire. And then it said the mountains will melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. You know how it just slowly melts? Have you seen what's happening right now in some of the news media? There's some things that are just starting to melt like wax. And God said those big old mountains that have tried to take my church down, try to take education down, try to take the parents of school children down. COVID that's tried to strike my people all over the world. You just wait. There's something underlying. I heard the presence of the Lord say, don't underestimate me, church. Don't you dare do that. Because you see that a fire goes before me and I burn up my enemies. Who's God's enemies? Your enemies. Whoever is your enemy is God's enemies. He doesn't like the lying media. He doesn't like a lying government. He said, I can strike them like that. The mountains will melt like wax, and the whole earth will see. But look at verse 6. The heavens declare his righteousness. All the peoples see his glory. All the peoples with an S, that means every nation. See, this isn't just a little revival for Landmark. In these four walls, it's a global awakening. And when we begin to see the power of God strike you, Kelly, in that foot and mend those bones back together and hit this place and hit the streets, you see, it's going to be power and glory on your story. Your little story that you think is not significant. You say, well, I was never, put in jail. I never did drugs. I never smoked a joint. But then some might say, well, I was the worst of the worst. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, when you and I begin to share our story, it's going to touch the whole world. When just the church, the body of Christ, God said she will declare, what did it say? Look at that. My people, The heavens will declare his righteousness, and all the people shall see his glory. We are his witnesses, and we will tell the story that we have within us. And the glory's got to come, church, before he comes, because he is returning for a glorious church. Amen? He's coming for a glorious church, so the glory has to come. And it's going to be of healing, harvest. The harvest, conviction is falling. I don't know if you saw it the other night. Holiness, a harvest, and conviction. The other night, one of the people that ran for one of the offices of governor, he just said, there was a holy conviction that came on me to do this. He's a man of God. And he got in there and ran, and he won. And he said, but there was a conviction. There was another lady praising the Lord. And I declare to you today, it won't be very long that you'll see the media streams beginning to praise the Lord. They won't want to, and they won't even mean to. But you know what? They're going to. They'll have no choice, because they're going to have to tell the testimonies of what God has done for others as they share it. Now, I just want us to go to one more place, Isaiah 40. Go back to Isaiah 40 and 5. Are y'all in here this morning? Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, I always get my Isaiah and Psalms mixed up. Psalms 40. I'm sorry, Isaiah. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and 5. Look at this. Isaiah 40 and 5. The glory of the Lord shall be what? Revealed. That means we will see it, not just feel it. We will see it. And all flesh shall see it how? All together. It's got to come out on the media. It has to come out on the radio. It has to come out among the rappers and the hip-hoppers and the Southern gospel backslidden singers. It just has to come out. All flesh will see it together. Why? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Not Pastor Paulette. Not your favorite TV pastor. It said the Lord has said this. The Lord says, I'm going to reveal my glory. And all flesh shall see it together. You'll all see it. The Lord has said it. Now, here's where I wanted to take you this morning as I close. Wednesday night. Kathy, can you switch over to the NIV and pull up Isaiah 61? Isaiah 61:3. Now, this is where I'm talking about. My daddy used to talk about horse trading. We need to do just some good old-fashioned horse trading this morning and just trade some stuff off, because God said, I want you to. I've provided it for you. So as Kathy pulls up, this is the NIV if you're looking on your phone. 61 and 3. God says, I will trade you. I want to trade you some things, oh, chosen people of God. Look at verse 3. Now I'm reading. I'll read it from here so I can be with you. Is that 61:3? Okay. I wonder why we're starting in the middle of the verse. Anyway, he says, I will provide for those who grieve. Anyone grieving in here today? He said, okay, you all are still grieving. He says, I have something for you. So I want to do some old-fashioned horse trading with you. I want you to trade with me. I'll provide for those who grieve in Zion. I will bestow upon them a crown of beauty. I'll make it so beautiful it will fit just perfectly on your head, on your mind, on your spirit. And I will give you a crown of beauty. Look at this word, instead. Instead, say it to somebody, instead of ashes. Sometimes all you've got left in your marriage, you feel like it's just ashes. Or maybe you don't think that there's any hope for that child ever coming back to the presence of the Lord. Or your business is in ashes. Look, he said, not only am I going to bestow a crown of beauty on you instead of your head hanging down and your feeble knees, Instead of ashes, I'll give you the oil of what? Oil of joy. I will oil you up. I will anoint you with my Holy Spirit joy. Instead of ashes, I'll give you the oil of joy. A little more horse trading here. Instead of mourning and a garment of praise. I'll give you a garment of praise. You won't feel like worshiping me, but instead of mourning, I'm going to put a garment of praise on you. Instead, oh, you need to circle those. Instead of a spirit of despair. See, when the church moves out of despair, out of hopelessness, and into praise, he said, it's just like putting a new garment on. You took the old heaviness off, the old horse trading. Take off the heaviness, take off the despair, and put on your garment. There's a whole bunch of insteads here. Look at this. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for what? Woo! For the display of his splendor. He says, I just want to put you on display. But I don't think he's wanted to display us too much in the past 50 years. Said, oh, the great revival of the 50s is over, and the 60s, and the hippie movement, and the renewal, and oh, there's not been much in these last two decades. Oh, no, no. He says, I'm going to put you as a display of my splendor, which means my glory. Now, let's just back up over to chapter 60, Miss Kathy. Over to chapter 60. Let me see. I think there's, oh, yeah, verse 17. Look at this, you guys. Totally powerful, more instead. Remember, it's in the NIV. Actually, this is in a New King James as well. Right here it is. It says instead here in 60 and 17. There you go, 60 and 17. Instead of bronze, I'll bring you gold. Some of you said, you know what? It's like I'm always taking three steps forward and two steps back. I never get to the gold. It's like we're going to make it here, and then we don't make it. And instead of it being gold, it just turns out to be plain old bronze. And God said, I'm changing all that. I'm going to put you on display. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold. And silver in place of iron. No more iron. The iron gates will be pulled down. I'm going to put silver in its place. Instead, look at that, instead of what? I will bring you bronze. The bronze is not good when you can have gold, but when all you've got is wood, bronze is better than wood. Amen? God knows what he's talking about. Isn't he awesome? And iron in place of stones. So iron wasn't working up there when you could have silver. When you could have silver, he says, I'm going to take the iron out. But if you want to choose stones or iron, then take the iron. And he said, I will make peace your what? Governor and well-being your ruler. Let me read again. I will make peace your governor. That means to guide, guard, and govern. That's why God put Adam in the garden. He said, now you govern it. That means guide, guard, address it, and keep it. Excuse me. Adam, you dress and keep this garden. It meant guide, guard, and govern. So peace, he will do that. You don't have to do it. You don't have to have anything to do with it. He said, I will make peace in your home, in your mind, in your heart, in your family, in your finances, in your marriage. I will do this if you'll do some insteads with me, if you'll do some good old-fashioned horse trading. If you'll start praising me instead of walking in despair, I'll calm it all down. I will make peace your governor. Hey, men, what's a governor on a car? I used to hear the guys talk about a governor. What's a governor on a car? Huh? Oh, it restricts. Holds it back. Okay, so he said, I will make peace your governor. So peace will hold the things back away from you. He said, I'll release my peace, and it will restrict the things that shouldn't come your way. And I'll make well-being your ruler. Stand with me, church. Come on, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I know we went through that on Wednesday night, but I had to share it with everybody today. Got to have those instead. Kathy, give me in the New King James Version. Give me Isaiah 60 one time, please. Isaiah 60. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. You all know we founded our church on this. Okay, look. Arise, shine. Why? For your light has come. And the glory of who? Is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Has it done that? Darkness has covered the earth. But don't forget, God says, I'm in the darkness. I hide myself from you in the darkness. I'm hidden and you can't see me, but I am there. Darkness shall... go back, Kathy. For darkness shall cover the earth. And deep, look at that, deep darkness, the people. We've never seen a time where we've seen people so outlandish in their filth. There is absolutely no shame. Open filth, dirt, sin, deep darkness has covered the people. But, look at this, the Lord will arise over you. You who? His church, his chosen people. My glory will arise over you. And his glory, his splendor will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Is that good? Somebody ought to give him praise. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shoralabaha. You know what, Brother Lindell? Could you guys play that song again, Jesus, you're the center of my joy? Could you do that again? If they can do that, I think I'll just, if y'all want to come back, we'll just dismiss with this. I'm sorry. Or you can stay there, whatever you want. I just want us to worship with this. Can we, are we going to be able to do that? Why don't you come up here with me? Why don't you come up here with me and let's just confess to him. He is the center of our joy. That we're not going anywhere. We're not going to leave him. Let's take the insteads. I sure hope we have that. Let's do some good old horse trading right here at the altar right now, would you? If you can. Oh, yeah, let's worship him. Commit yourself to him. Commit yourself. If you got to read the words, we'll read them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart, Lord. My contentment. Okay, now purpose to see him and everything around us.
When I've lost my direction,
yes, Lord.
You're the compass for my way. You're the firelight when the nights are long and cold.
God, yes, Lord.
In the sadness, you are.
Laughter, yes, Lord.
Shatters all my fears when I'm all alone. Your hand is there.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good.
pleasure.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
The simple things in life.
Woo, yes, Lord.
You're the music.
My God.
In the meadows and the streams.
Yes, Lord.
Children, my family, and my home.
Yes, Lord.
You're the source and finish of my highest dreams.
Jesus, you're the center.
Come on and praise him, church. My joy in my sorrow. Of my head. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Center of my joy. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we purpose in our hearts to receive every instead that you promised us. You promised us in place of mourning, you would give us laughter. In place, Lord, of wood, you would give us iron. In the place of nothing, Lord, you would put gold and silver, and the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, we don't have any, so we rest on your joy. May we receive every instead. Lift your hands and receive it right now. Tell him, Lord, I want to trade with you this morning. I'm going to pull off that old heaviness and despair. I'm going to quit listening to the lies of the devil that whisper in my ear. You're not this and you're not that and you're never going to be and it's never going to come and God hasn't heard you. God's not going to answer that. Oh, he touched you before, but not this time. Devil, you are a liar. And the presence of the Lord said when he says, you will all see my glory, we will all see your glory, Father. When you say, I'm going to show my splendor on you, that's exactly what you're going to do. When you say your light has come and my glory is on you, that's what's going to happen. Come on, let's receive his joy. Receive his joy. See it. Hear it. Wherever you are, in your home, in your job, I don't care how ugly it gets there, you see him in the mess. You see him in the struggle. See him in the care provided. See him at work. See him, Lord, in the trouble. See him in the good times. See him in the bad times. See him in the great wealth. See him in the great blessing. Don't forget to worship him when things are good. Don't forget to put on that garment of praise. Ah, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Would somebody say amen? Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. and may he turn his countenance towards you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Woo, bless you guys. Take that word and keep it this week. I love you all.